Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Guy never panics. He's just fabulous at what he does. One of the best in the business. Who gets now to call the next step, the National League Championship Series. That is Scott Fransky. Scott, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for your time today, especially on game day.
Happy to do it. How are you guys doing?
All right. Doing great. Doing great. And great to see the Phillies where they are right now. I have to ask you, what was in the moment, what was the right Rhys Hoskins? I was sitting in Ann Arbor getting ready to do the Penn State-Michigan game on Friday, so I'm watching with a group of people when he spiked the bat. What was that moment like for you?
It went by quick, obviously. It was pretty, it was pretty cool. I know like a lot of Phillies fans, felt good for Rhys in that moment. Obviously felt good for the team and just what it meant for the game, but felt really good for Rhys to see him have that moment and have that kind of success. That was pretty cool.
In a long season, there are moments where you're rolling along. There are moments where you're not. Why are they rolling along now when it counts?
It's a really good question. I mean, it could just be dumb luck, right? I Harper's been swinging the bat better. I think it makes such a difference in the lineup. I think I keep going back to something that Rob Thompson had been telling me for about a month, and he was a pretty firm believer in the idea that if his team got into the playoffs, that they would play pretty well. And he said that because he felt like, the real hump to get over was just getting in, and that would relieve a lot of the tension. And he feels like this is a team that's got a lot of talent, and when they play tension-free, they're the best version of themselves. And I think he had an inkling all along that they were going to play pretty well. It didn't mean they were going to win, but mm-hmm. but he had a pretty good idea that they were going to play well once they got to October. If they could only get in, which obviously it wasn't the most impressive march to the playoffs, mm-hmm. right? But they did get in, and now we're seeing a team that's relaxed and healthy and kind of lined up how they want it.
Which goes to the next part. You said how they're lined up. That means Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola. In a short series, what does a 1-2 punch like that mean at the start?
Well, I mean, it can mean everything, but I know the Padres feel the same way about their 1-2,
Darvish,
1-2-3.
Yeah.
Darvish is really, really good, and Darvish has a lot of experience, and not to say that Zach Wheeler doesn't, but, this is for me, this is a big game. I know it's game one, and there's a long way to go potentially in the series, but for me, it's a big game because, the Phillies are obviously designed with those two guys taking the ball in two of the four of the six games to start the series. Mm-hmm. So I really feel like, don't get me wrong, anything can happen tonight, but I'll take my chances with a guy like Zach mm-hmm. Wheeler because he's just so good.
I mean, the four-seamer up in the zone, what has that meant to what we see in Zach Wheeler right now?
Well, I mean, I think it's certainly one of his weapons. I mean, to me, he's a guy that that when his fastball has that extra life, which it has, since he came back off the injured list, I think it's made a difference. And it might just be, a mile and a half more, but on a consistent basis, it makes a difference and it sets everything up. We're seeing sliders from him that are mm-hmm. closing in on, 93, 94 at times. So I do think it's, for Zach, it's the complete arsenal. We saw him against Atlanta. He's basically going fastball slider, and then mm-hmm. he needs a big pitch, and he comes up with his curveball, right? And he's the kind of, Halliday-esque kind of guy that can sit on a certain pitch and keep it in his back pocket and break it out later.
Yeah, exactly. The ninth inning in the first game against my old friend Ollie Marmol. Ollie and I go back 10 years. Here are the Phillies going along in that game. and for the most part have been terrific offensively since that top of the ninth. What did that do, almost, to go back to what you said, relieve the stress when they did that?
You know, I talked about this with somebody else yesterday. I really feel like the biggest at-bat in that entire inning was Harper's walk.
Yes.
I mean, JT getting the bloop base hit, obviously that starts it. But then you have your reigning MVP come to the plate, representing the tying run. And I think the focus then becomes, oh, well, Harper's got a chance to tie the game, right? We pay Harper to hit the big home run, okay? But I've always thought that Harper is at his best if he is trusting the guys around him to do what they need to do. And I thought that was a big moment of trust, that he didn't expand. He stayed in the zone. He only, you know, he was only going to swing at strikes. And he drew the walk. And he was willing to pass the baton in that moment. And I think, to me, that's symbolic of what they've been able to do this postseason. And again, you know, Gene ends up later in the inning coming up with a hit that puts him in front. And everybody talks about, you know, the big base hit by Gene, and rightfully so. But I feel like that walk sort of signified that the moment wasn't too big, that they were still composed, they weren't feeling the pressure necessarily, and they were just going to, you know, have good at-bats and pass the baton. And I thought it was big.
That tells me that, look, I'm going to do my job. And by the way, I'm not getting a great pitch to hit here. I took a walk because I trust that you're going to do your job.
Right.
And I think that means a lot.
Yeah, and I think it means a lot when it's coming from that guy.
Right.
Yes,
because no doubt
everybody expects him to be the man. And, you know, I said this to someone a month ago. I said, he is such a good baseball player. He's better than almost every baseball player every time there's a game played that he's involved in, right? He's always one of the top one, two, three best players on the field. Mm-hmm. And that means that he can just be a guy, and still be better than the average bear. And I feel like if he's just a guy, he will end up being the man. And I think we're seeing those numbers right now.
Yep, we're seeing those numbers. And I know, obviously, statistically not the greatest series against Atlanta for Kyle Schwarber, but Schwarber's had big World Series hits. He had big hits for the Red Sox last year. What does his presence mean in the clubhouse and his presence mean in a series like this?
Well, I mean, his presence has been felt all season. There's no doubt, and part of that presence is really amplified when things are going poorly, because I think he's a guy that has sort of helped them understand that, look, we move on to the next game, and as long as we're still alive and still playing, we have a next game that matters more than this one that we just lost, because we can't do anything about the one we just lost. It's over. Mm-hmm. So I do think that in that sense, his presence has been felt all season long. I mean, I think he's been a calming influence on younger players. I think he's been an inclusive player in the clubhouse. He's made sure that everyone feels a part of everything. And, you know, that goes a long way, especially for a young player to feel comfortable and to feel like they're welcome and to feel like they're a part of it. And Kyle has a lot to do with that.
Your thoughts on bullpen usage, how they performed, and how Robbie's used them?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's been too many surprises. I think he's going to continue to ride Jose Alvarado.
Yep.
You know, we're going to see Alvarado a lot against Soto, Machado, that stretch of the lineup from the Padres. And I think it will be interesting to see, you know, if the series goes seven, and you get to a situation where you're playing 5 days in a row, and how much you can ride that bullpen, you know what I mean? It's going to be a chess match for managers who want, you know, maybe you're down a run, right? But you want to keep the game close so you have a chance to come back and win it. Well, do you use your top guy? Do you use Alvarado? And then he might not be available, you know, 2 days later when you have a one-run lead. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how the managers protect, because I think both managers, Bob Melvin for the Padres as well, they've obviously pared down the number of guys they want to use. And if the Padres can get a good start and get, you know, Suarez, Garcia, and Hader into the game, then that's what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to stick to that.
Your thoughts on San Diego? A lot was expected when the season began, but that also was going to include Fernando Tatis Jr., which now, of course, it does not. Your thoughts on a team that won 89 and how they're playing now?
Yeah, very similar to the Phillies. You know, a team that has flaws, no doubt. A team that's had struggles, ups and downs, injuries. You know, you think, you know, the Phillies won the season series against the Padres, but they played one series without Manny Machado. Machado only played in three of the games against the Phillies. So, you know, again, this is a team that is hot. This is a team that is feeling uber confident, just like the Phillies. They just beat their arch rival and their biggest nemesis on the planet in the Dodgers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That is everything for this franchise. That's what they've talked about for years. That's why they went out and made trades for Musgrove and Darvish and, you know, signed Machado and made the deal for Soto. It was all pointing to stopping the Dodgers. And, you know, the one thing I wonder is that will there be a little bit of a letdown for them? The fact that they've sort of conquered their demons, so to speak. And if that was their main goal, was to beat the Dodgers, do they let up? You know, do they have any kind of different mentality going into this series? I don't know that. I don't know them well enough to speak to their personalities. But you know, I think it's a team that's, again, super confident because they're feeling themselves right now just like the Phillies are.
One final question, if you don't mind, because I know you've got the game coming up. And that deals with the crowd in Philadelphia at Citizens Bank Park. What, you know, the influence that they have on the game, and what do you think they have meant to elevate a performance of everybody around them because of the emotion?
Yeah, I mean, those are things that are always pretty hard to quantify. I guess if I had to guess, I would say that it certainly amped guys up. But, you know, any player, whether it's that they're amped up because their crowd is behind them, or that they're nervous because the crowd is against them, whatever the case might be, the best players handle it, because you can't necessarily play your best when you're worried about one way or the other. So in general terms, I think the teams that block it out usually do the best. But, I think it was eye-opening for players. I really do, and I think that was because none of them had ever seen it. They had walked across the street and seen football games at the Link and wondered when that was going to happen for them. And, you know, I think it would be foolish to think it didn't have some effect on the play of the Phillies. I don't think it intimidated the Atlanta Braves, but I have to believe it gave the Phillies a bit of a boost, just confidence-wise, adrenaline-wise, all those things, to see the ballpark like that for the first time ever.
Well, if anybody wants to see somebody in a pregame mode at the highest level of his profession, I strongly recommend that everybody get a hold of Scott's Open to the Houston, to the night that they clinched with Aaron Nola on the mound, and how he set up that ball game. It was as brilliant a moment that you're going to ask a broadcaster to have. So, Scott, thank you for your time. Great series, and hopefully you've got a maximum of 14 more.
God, that sounds great. I hope so. Great to talk with you, Steve.
You too. Thanks, Scott.
All right, take care.